We're now in the working on the first set of questions, and really what this whole class boils down to is one of these two men, Adam or Christ. And as we mentioned last time, for us as believers, is there any such thing as positional truth for us as believers in Adam?
Truth? Positional truth?
Mm-hmm. Is there any position that in Adam that's true of you now that you're a believer?
No.
Nothing. It's really important to understand that. That the cross of Christ totally separated us from this entire creation. Okay? Now we're still living in it. We're still walking around in it. And next week we'll talk about the other half of this dynamic, which is our condition, our everyday walking around existence. All of our position is in Christ. All of the information, all the truth, all everything is in Christ. All of it. None of it is in here. So I don't want anybody in the time that we're up here, even when Courtney's teaching, to say, yeah, but my experience in Adam, nah. This is where we are. And so that's why I think position is really important to us. Okay? So, to make it simple, question number one is look up in the dictionary and define the following key words. What's a principal? It's the head of a high school, right? What is a principal?
It's the way that it works.
What's it?
Well, whatever you're talking about.
Okay.
In this case,
it's a fundamental and comprehensive law. And by law, I don't mean statute. I mean principle. Or doctrine. Or even an assumption. The laws or facts of nature underlying the working of an artificial device. Oh, boy, I got that. Yeah. So a principle is a fundamental, the word law, not statute. You know what I mean by statute? If you go over 35 miles an hour on this street out here is a statute. A principle is like you were describing, that it functions and operates the same way every single time. Give me an example.
Gravity.
Gravity is a good one.
There's a law of physics.
Physics. Yeah. Thermodynamics. Things that we have discovered through investigation that absolutely operate the same way every time. Okay. Even an airplane flies, it's operating on by a different law that overrides, but if the airplane slows down, guess what happens? The law of gravity grabs it, down it's coming. Okay? It's the same thing that's true in the spiritual realm of things. There are principles in the spiritual realm of things that operate the same way every time, that are absolutely true and cannot be changed. Give me an example of one of those.
I'm in Christ, will always be.
I'm in Christ. Okay. A principle, and one of the things the class goes through is different principles, scriptural principles that are absolutely true. So as we spend time going through these things, I want you to understand that we're talking about things that are principles. And I don't care what your experience may contradict it, the principle still remains. You know? Yes, ma'am.
I think the reason for thinking you can contradict position, the principle of position, would be that you're off on a condition tangent and you don't realize it.
Mm-hmm. There's several reasons. One, you don't understand that there are such things as principles, spiritual principles. Let me give you one out of Genesis. You know the principle of like begets like? What is that?
Animal, alpacas make alpacas.
Yeah. The evolutionists they've somehow missed this principle. You know, Donald loves to say that these amoebas got together, had a meeting, and decided they were going to be frogs. you know. So, like begets like. Every, you know, birds beget birds. I've never seen a flying turtle, you know.
Give it 20 million years.
No, 40 million years, yeah. I don't care. And the same is true spiritually. The same is true of Adam and Christ. Whatever is true of them is true of those that belong to them. Principle, like begets like. Why were you all born a sinner? What made you a sinner? Or maybe a better question is, when did you commit your first sin?
Adam.
In Adam. That's right.
Could you say that? Or could you say from all eternity?
No, because you didn't sin from all... As we talked about last week, how does God see you?
In Christ.
Yeah, from all eternity. But he put you in Adam in time, mm-hmm. and you sinned in him. Yeah. Okay? So I'm watching last night... what's the little boy's name, the new baby?
Atticus.
Atticus. I'm looking at him, and he's just a sweet little boy, right? Guess what? They're not going to have to send him to Sinning Academy. It comes with him.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
It just shows up, because it's like begets like. It's a principle, okay? Mm-hmm. All right, the principle position, defined position. Don't everybody speak at once. I don't want to call on anybody and embarrass them. What do you think?
Is it a place or a location?
Okay. It can be a place. It can be a location.
Source.
It's a source. And we'll talk about that. That source is probably the best word, synonym, of the word position. Does that make any sense? No? I wrote down to lay down or to place a position. I like the word position because I'm a real estate guy. You know, location is really important to me. I have a position somewhere. I have a home somewhere. You know. From a physical standpoint, the dictionary says the act of placing or arranging the point or area occupied by a physical object. So translate that into a spiritual definition. You could say it's the point or an area occupied by a person. The point or the area. Your position is either here before you're saved or here after you're saved. You can't live in both. You can't live in both. It's like you can't be a turtle and fly. You're one or the other. You're the bird or you're a turtle. So, like Alan said, the best synonym for the word position is the word source. Why source? What's the word source mean? How would you define the word source?
I think briefly Webster said it's a point of origin.
Okay, point of origin. That's why I think it's the best word for describing what a position is. What's your point of origin? We found out last week that because you're all believers, what was your point of origin? What was it? What is it?
In Christ.
In Christ when? Before the foundation of eternity. That's your point of origin. My buddy who lives across the street, who isn't a believer, what was his point of origin? Huh?
In Adam.
In Adam. Right?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, if he becomes a believer, his point of origin changes.
Yeah.
He goes from a time-space guy to an eternal guy. Okay? So source is really important. What's the source of your Christian life? Which means, what's the source of your position? So just on those three words alone, do you think it's important to understand the principle of position and what your position is as believers? Absolutely it is. Why? Because if you don't know what to believe in, you're not going to live by faith and you're not going to grow. Miles said that the positional truths of the Word of God, which constitute the spiritual foundation of spiritual growth. You got to have a foundation.
Faith has to have an object.
Faith has to have an object, yeah. And that you're, as we learned in the faith class, for those of you who are in it, we all live by faith every single day. The only difference is what the object is. The object is either Christ or it's self. It's how I feel and how I perceive and how I react rather than what the Word of God says. But we're living by faith one way or the other. So positional truth really can be accredited to the things of God. That's really what they are. So as you learn them and find them out, and because they are principles, they don't ever change. Okay? You guys look confused.
I'm just thinking of the statement, you have to have more faith.
No.
Somehow that just doesn't
No, that isn't where you need. You need more information.
No.
That's really true. Miles says, spiritual growth really begins at the top, from our position, our source in the Lord Jesus Christ on high. The secret of healthy spiritual growth is to concentrate upon God's very best as it is in Christ, and thereby leaving no hunger nor hankering for anything less than His best. This is the best God has, right here. Okay. And He is the answer to everything. He personally. Not just information about Him, Him personally is the answer to everything. Okay? All right. Any questions on question number one? Definitions okay? Would you expand on them, change them, add to them, subtract from them? You guys aren't very interactive today. Let's get with it. So the best word to describe position, we said, was source. All spiritual life and growth is based upon the principle of position. It can be summed up in one word, source. If my buddy across the street over here is not a believer, this is his source. This world he lives in is a fallen world from the first creation. He has a sin nature. It's controlled by Satan. It's nothing but death, and that's his source to draw from. I mean, all of you, I'm sure, have sat down with a non-believer and just carefully given them the gospel, and they just didn't get it. Why? Their source is wrong. The Spirit of God operates on them. They begin to see some things they've never seen before. Different source. Different source. See that? Or you've sat down with other believers and you have carefully tried to explain a doctrine that's clear in your mind that isn't clear in their mind. And they don't seem to grasp it. Why? Because they're trying to grasp it out of this source. Which is, well, how does it affect me? I remember as young believers, Donna and I were at a Bible study one time. This is before we knew anything. I think we went to a movie, right?
Oh, yeah.
We went to a movie and saw Oh God with a bunch of single Christians. And went back to somebody's house for a Coke and a whatever. And they've gotten a discussion about the movie, and I hadn't been a Christian very long, but there was no spiritual redeeming qualities in that movie, and I knew it, and they're all trying to make it happen. And this one guy says to another guy, he says, well, my doctrine and theology is different than yours, and we're both okay with that. I said, I don't think so. Source. It's either what the truth is or it isn't. You know, and how you feel about it doesn't necessarily make it true. It has to be in God's Word. It has to be in the source. Okay? Yeah?
So could you real quickly just go through then? Adam, the Spirit somehow reveals himself to every person in it, has its source in Adam, right?
Well, I'm not sure the Spirit reveals himself as much as he reveals what this source in Adam is and how this person here is separated from here.
I guess what I'm getting at is that's the last choice that Adam makes, is
to believe.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Who Christ is. So something happens there.
Yeah. What happens there? Anybody? Here's my buddy across the street in Adam, and Alan goes over and gives him the gospel, and he says, "Oh, wow, that's really cool." And he says, "What do I do about it?" Alan says, "Believe." He says, "Okay, I do." He made that decision to believe while he was positioned in Adam, didn't he? Mm-hmm. But once he made the decision, what happened? What happened to positionally to him? What happened to him? Huh? He died. What's death mean?
Separation.
What did he separate from? Adam and all of Adam's source. Now, he may not ever find that out in his Christian life. But that's the reality and that's the position. So the last act of a believer or of a non-believer is to believe in Christ, because the second that they do, what happens to them? They die. They get separated. Now, they may not ever live positionally. Never. Either through ignorance or...
Positionally.
Huh?
They may never live...
Positionally. They may never live in the position that they have in Christ. They may spend all of their time trying to get Adam to act like a Christian, not ever knowing about their position. I said this last week. I'll do it in the form of a question. What theological, what system of theology today keeps you from your position in Christ?
Law.
Works.
Law.
Law.
And what's it called? Reform. Covenant theology. Why? Why would reform or covenant theology keep you from abiding in Christ?
Because you're too busy trying to fix up the old man.
Yeah. What's the, yeah. There's the principle of law here, right? Mm. Is there a principle of law in Christ? Mm. So if I'm living under the principle of law, what's my source? Adam. The subtlety of Reformed theology to keep you from Christ and to keep you away from your position is just, it's so subtle, you don't even know it. There is no position in Christ in law because it's from the old creation. How does this guy live over here? Grace. Right? So whenever you hear from a pulpit or a book or a radio, somebody who's trying to get you to do something that will make you more acceptable to God, you're under a law system, and therefore you're not dealing with your position in Christ. Because your position is based on one thing, fact. Even if this person uses the word promise, how many promises do you have over here? Huh?
None.
Why not?
You're blessed with every spiritual blessing.
That's right. It's position. You have it all in your position. So, a system based on law and promise and Old Testament and the Psalms and all of that, not that it's good for us to know those things, but those things are never going to tell us about our position in Christ. Never. Because they're not designed to. That makes sense? You all right with that? I said that to a guy in California this week, and he called me back twice, challenging me about that. So you challenged me about it. I can't see how any Reformed theology that has anything to do with a law-based system has anything to do with my position in Christ, because it's based on something I'm trying to achieve when my position in Christ is a fact. I already have it.
Sometimes you talk about Reformed or other things.
Covenant.
Covenant and all that. I don't know any of that stuff.
You do know about it. You just don't know that you know about it.
Okay. So, but when you kind of compare them, like, oh, this about this, it's like, well, I don't even know.
I'll put one up here that you do know about.
Right.
They do the same thing.
Yeah.
And you're very familiar. It's the same dance.
Yeah.
Okay.
I was wondering, when Jesus said, "You'll find me if you search with all your heart,"
mm-hmm.
that doesn't seem like it falls in the position.
Who's he talking to? Who is he talking to?
Yeah.
Jews, right.
Yeah.
And which one of these do the Jews come from?
Adam.
Which one?
Adam.
Right?
Yeah.
They're from Adam.
So
when you read the Gospels, what are you reading? You're not reading here.
Yeah. So that's helpful. You know, that whole concept of the Beatitudes. And
oh, sure.
That.
That's all here.
Yeah.
It's all Adam. That sort of upsets a lot of Christians when you tell them that.
I about freaked out when I first
heard it. So you see, anything that's got the hint of law, mm-hmm. anything, it's like we talked about the spiritual formation, which kind of is popular today. Spiritual formation is based on the fact that you as a Christian don't know, you have to do something with their system to gain more spirituality.
Mm-hmm.
Really? What do I need to do? Debbie said that I'm blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies. What do I need to do? Nothing. I just
believe.
Need to believe. What's
you
that?
You have to believe.
That's it. That's it. And I got to know what I believe.
I was just wondering if it would help to break down that covenant perspective a little bit in terms
okay.
of how it works. I think there's...
Sure.
So that there's an acronym that's used called TULIP.
Right.
Have you guys heard that?
Yeah.
So TULIP is a tool that Calvinists and covenant theologists reformed use to help them remember how this system of theology works in their mind. And it starts with total depravity.
Yeah, I'm not going to write it all
that's
out.
That's right.
Total
depravity.
And
then it's unconditional election.
Unconditional election. You know, everybody know what that means?
No.
That means that there is an election of people that is not based on any condition of yourself. So God elects certain individuals to be saved. And it's
mm-hmm.
unconditional. And there's a limited atonement, which means that Christ did not die for everyone. He only died for the unconditionally elect.
Okay.
And then there's irresistible grace, meaning once the Lord, if through His Spirit, chooses to reveal that you're an elect, you're under an irresistible instance of grace that you cannot deny. And then finally, there's that perseverance of the saints.
Mm-hmm.
That's the P. And that's where you see the individual focusing on trying to persevere Adam to be like Christ.
That's right.
And it's this whole idea of being chosen, and then I'm regenerated, then I'm given a gift of faith, then I believe, and then I'm saved. So it's quite opposite to what we're saying.
They start out here by saying...
What was saying T again?
Total depravity.
They say that man is so depraved that unless God
regenerates
him, they cannot believe. And which leads to the election... beforehand. But, you know, God so loved the world. I don't know how they deal with John 3:16. God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whosoever believe in Him should not perish.
Yeah.
As we learned in the faith class, everybody has the capacity to believe.
Well, they would just say whosoever means the
that's what they say.
Elected.
That's what they say.
Yeah.
Even first chapter of Romans, where man is without excuse because
sure.
he, it's a, to me,
sure.
it's just an unbelief. It's,
sure.
it's a thing to choose.
This is a very subtle system. If you don't know anything about position, and you're trying to create a form of theology to get everybody marching in the same direction, this is how you do it.
Mm-hmm.
This is really subtle. Or you do what these guys do. You
well,
know?
That's how you get like a click. Going to say like, well, since you're not in our elected clique, sure. Then
sure.
So no, that's right.
Let's put our acronym up there.
Okay.
Trust me on this one,
Mike. Where do you want it? Over here?
Next to TULIP.
Next to TULIP?
Yeah. D.
B.
D as in dog. B. Sorry, that's B as in boy. R. A. S. What's that stand for?
Reverence.
That's right.
The
five
identification. Death, burial, resurrection, ascension, and seating.
Oh my God.
That's a different system altogether, and that's scriptural.
Yeah.
Wow.
I thought it meant Denver Broncos.
Something about being the
spirit. So, yeah. How about, you know, that B could be belief and burial?
Death and burial, it's really subtle.
Well,
if you don't know, if you don't know what happened here, you never get over there.
Yeah.
See, so and people say, well, gee, I know the identification truths, and people say, oh, you must be spiritual. Where do the identification truths show up in the Bible? Romans chapter 6. Sixth chapter of the first book of Christianity is identification. It's normal, everyday. Cut variety pablum Christianity. It's not big deal. Every believer should understand identification. Everyone, it's simple. Did I die? Yeah, I did. Was I buried? Yes, I was. Was I resurrected? Yeah, I was. All positional truth. Did I ascend when Christ ascended? Yeah. Am I seated in the heavenlies in Christ now? Yeah. How do I know that? Because the Word tells me. Position. See, if you don't know this, you're automatically stuck with this. If you don't know this, you're here. That's why position is so important for us. And identification truth. Courtney.
You know, I guess I want to clarify when you say here, and Holly, I think, touched a little bit on it. I think by simple faith, people believe. Positionally, it's true about you. You may not know it. You may
That's
not
right.
live it. You may not do anything.
That's right.
You're still positionally, everything's still true about you.
That's exactly right.
You may not live it. You may not understand
and
it.
And not
you
ever
may,
know it.
You may not ever know it. You live under TULIP, but by simple
faith. Yeah, you may be a Christian over here. That's right.
And but positionally, you're still in Christ.
Yeah.
If you are, you know, by simple faith, believe. Then you're over there. You may live it totally out, but so there's not. It's not salvation, kind of a losing salvation or losing it positionally. Even though you don't know it, you have no clue, and you're living completely opposite that. You're still positionally there.
I remember when we had a conversation one time. We're coming home from something at Denver Christian, and they're Dutch Reform, right? They are the TULIP tulips.
Oh, is that where tulips come from?
Yeah, Dutch.
And I said to Don, I said, when these people die and leave the planet, the ones that are believers, have they got a surprise coming? They really are going to be, really? All of that's, you mean none of this? No.
I mean, I wasted all my time.
Did all of this? Yeah.
You know, that's why, I mean, the identification are so valuable, because you can't, you then live under grace, which is free, which is unlocking all that, the law and all the requirements and all that. You don't have any of that. So, I mean, the identification truths are incredibly important for growth.
Yeah, yeah.
If you don't, you don't have growth.
You can't have growth.
You can't.
Is a better way to put it. You just
living,
can't.
You're living on the other side where you don't know these truths. So I was saying that we have friends who tend to be in the law and this and that, and you know, they immediately quote, which I always say, Galatians 3:24, and read from 23 on. But before faith came, we were kept in the custody under the law, being shut up to the faith which was later to be relieved. Now 24, which they all quote, therefore the law became our tutor to lead us to Christ, so that we may be justified by faith. Stop. And so the law is a good thing. It points us to Christ. It's a great thing. It's awesome. And they stop there. Read the next verse. And it is, but now that faith has come, we are no longer under a tutor.
Yeah.
You know, it basically says right there, you're not under law. And they all stop at the law part because they like it. They don't know all the identification. They like to live in Tulip and Adam and all that because that's where they're comfortable. So they stop there. It feels sure. warm and cozy. But you're not under law.
So then could you say that if you don't understand your position, that your condition will always be in Adam?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. So, question.
Can I throw in something?
No.
I think the Holy Spirit, though, keeps on working on you, even if
you're
in love.
Oh, that's true.
I think you're growing.
That's absolutely true.
Continuously, regardless of whether you like know that or not, yeah. I think the Holy Spirit wears down your rebellion continuously.
Yeah, I'm not so sure it's a rebellion. Let's say you're in this deal.
I won't say rebellion. I'll say in. Ignorant. Like you like it, inflexibility. This yeah. is the way it is because I like it this way.
Or lack of knowledge.
Yeah.
Lack of knowledge.
I don't ever want to say that the Holy Spirit's working 100% of the time. It never gives up. That
he.
He's not an it.
He.
What?
You said it.
Oh,
it's $100.
the Holy Spirit will not give up ever.
Right.
But there isn't going to be the growth. That's so.
He's working on getting you to grow by continually working
on
it.
But the 99% is lack of knowledge.
There was another one of those Dutch Reform guys that in a soccer team that John was on came to me one day and he said, when we go to soccer practice, can we sit and maybe have a Bible study? I said, sure. So what's going on? He said, well, things are pretty tough at home. And so I sat down with him and every 2 days a week, we would go to soccer practice and sit in the front of my car, and I was taking him through Romans, right?
Yeah.
And we got to Romans 6, and I talked about identification. He was fine until I said, he to this dead is freed from the law. He was done. We never had another Bible study after that. Mm. He was so much under law that when I said, look at the words of God here. You know, you've been crucified, so you got separated from the law. He said, no way.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
I just had a question. So we've touched on Catholicism and Reform and so forth, but there's another vein that is also law-based, but takes a very different turn. I don't know. Has anyone had experience or came from, like, charismatic backgrounds?
Our friends, that's who I was referring to, actually.
So they would stand in complete opposition to Tulip in a different way.
Yeah. Right.
But the results still end up the same. They are under law in a different way. Here with Tulip, the end result is Adam is trying to persevere so as to never be accused of having not believed at some point in time.
Right.
Underneath the Arminian, which is where Charismatic came from, you end up with this idea of falling from grace as the final acronym. Mm-hmm. So you can lose your salvation. So you end up in a law of fear for losing your salvation. Mm-hmm. With Tulip, you end up in a law of fear for never having had it if you don't persevere to the end. Mm-hmm. Never were saved, potentially. If you're not on your deathbed claiming the same truth and having shown some growth over your life, you could be at risk of never having truly believed. So you have, in Tulip, you have multiple instances of believing throughout your entire life. And through Arminianism or the charismatic movement, you end up having multiple instances of believing because you fell from grace at some point in time.
But both end up with God anyway, so that would be a nice surprise for
them. If they're saved.
Right.
Well, there were a lot of Plymouth Brethren that bought into the Tulip thing. Not necessarily the Tulip thing, but they bought into it from the Hebrews 6, that if you taste it of the Spirit and da 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 da, and you don't, you know, and you fall back, they say, well, those were just pretenders. They weren't really saved. That's nonsense.
Well, if you think about this situation, there are believers that come from these systems.
Sure.
We're not going to deny that. But they never have an opportunity to rest in their entire life in who they are in Christ. They don't get the rest.
They don't get the rest because they don't know the grace.
That's right.
Okay. Streaking ahead here. Question 3. Does every human have a physical position or a source from which they come? What is it? Okay. Is the answer yes or no?
Yes.
Yes. So what is it?
Adam.
Okay. All men are born in their position in Adam, which is their source, right? They're positionally exactly like him in body, soul, and spirit. Exactly like him. In our human birth, we are a product of our position, born in Adam. That's the reality. Our position is what we are and how God views us, which is reality. Positions in themselves never change. 1 Corinthians 15:22. In Adam, all die. Ephesians 2:3. Are by nature the children of wrath. John 3:6. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. Okay? So the principle of reproduction from the natural realm and the spiritual realm is the same. If you're from flesh, that's where you're going to produce. If you're a child of wrath, that's what you're going to produce. If you're an Adam, you're dead. Okay? So, and one of the things that I looked at was, you know, in the natural realm, the first grain of wheat contained and complete and perfect the life of every subsequent grain of wheat to this day. The very first grain of wheat had in it all of the other wheat grains up until this day. It was in that grain. It didn't abide alone, retaining all, but fell into the ground and died, finding resurrection and the true fruit of life out of death. If you look at agriculture, that whole agriculture theme demonstrates the cross. Because it's all life out of death. It's death first, then life. When a seed goes in the ground, what's got to happen to it? It's got to die.
So, what about grafting?
What about it?
That isn't dead, right? The tree that gets grafted onto isn't dead. It's just not producing the fruit.
The branch that gets grafted into, like you take a branch from one fruit tree and graft it into another tree, well, that branch is not the source of life. What's the source of life? The one it was grafted into. And that's the life that will start to come through the branch. The branch is dead to what it used to be, is now alive in what it's in. Does that make sense? Okay. So, now it's your turn. Give some characteristics of your human position or source. What do you got from Adam that's really wonderful? Give me a list of them.
Fear was the first one I found.
Fear? Okay, perfect.
Selfishness.
Selfishness. Give me a physical attribute.
Oh.
Separated.
Huh?
Separated.
Physical?
How about this?
Skin?
How about this puppy
flesh.
Right here? How about your body?
Death.
Yeah.
You got that from where? You got it from Adam. You know, and trust me, the older you get, the less good it does. What else did you get from Adam?
Separation from God.
Okay. And that brought what? When you got separated, there was something that replaced it. It's a sin nature. You all have a sin nature. All of us do. Which means we all have this propensity to sin. It comes with the territory. Like I said about children, you don't have to teach them how to sin. They know how. We live in a dying environment. You know, you look around and I know that the environmentalists are going to save the planet and it's going to last for eternity. No, it's not. It's dying. It's dying. We're all born dead to God. In our spirits, all of us. And we're all involved in the works of the flesh. So, would you say in question 5, are all those that are in Adam, are they all the same? Sure they are. Sure they are. Doesn't matter, male or female, how old you are, they're all. Do you think all spiritual life and growth is based upon the principle of position? We have to say yes.
Yeah, and then the Holy Spirit can't grow something that isn't dead yet. Right? From what you said.
Well, I think, let's make the connection.
Well, it is dead, but not spiritually dead.
God put this principle in play in the garden when he created the like begets like. And if you read Genesis 1:10, 1:11, it's in God called the dry land earth, and the gathering of the waters he called seas, and God saw that it was good. And then God said, let the earth sprout vegetation, plants yielding seed, and fruit trees bearing fruit after their kind. And seeds in them on the earth, and so, and it was so. And the earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed after their kind. Okay? So it's a physical principle that is in play all the time. Trees bearing fruit with seeds in them after their kind. And God said it was good. In Genesis 1:24, he said, let the earth bring forth living creatures after their kind. Cattle, creeping things, beasts on the earth, after their kind, and God made the beasts of the earth after their kind. So it's a physical principle in Adam that reproduction is always after their kind. How about the spiritual principle? Does that hold true there too?
Yeah.
How do you know?
He tells us.
Hmm?
He tells us.
He does. So God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea, etc., and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. And then in Genesis 5, it says, this is the book of generations of Adam. In the day when God created man, he made him in the likeness of God. He created them male and female. He blessed them and named them man in the day that they were created. And when Adam had lived 130 years, he became the father of a son of his own likeness, according to his image, and named him Seth. So, the principle of reproduction is true physically, and it's also true spiritually. Okay? Now, I know that some of you think, I'm better than them. No, you're not. No, you're not. And in Christ, there aren't degrees. You're not a worse Christian than Ralph, who's a worse Christian than Wayne. You're complete in Christ. That's your position. That's who you are. You see that? So we got a minute. List 9 elements of your spiritual position. See how smart you are. Tell me about your spiritual position. What's true of you spiritually? I wrote 9 of them down.
Made righteous.
Okay, righteous is good. How about the first one I wrote down? It's based on grace. Okay, give me another one. I'm looking for the 9 elements of your spiritual possession or position.
Eternal.
It's eternal. It's the source of your Christian life. They're facts, not promises. You're perfect. Established in the Father's presence at the cross, this is how God sees me. They're immutable, which means they can never change. They're the objects of our faith. The Lord Jesus Christ. And it's the same for every believer. It's the same for every believer. So, which answers question 8. Is the position of every Christian exactly the same? Yes or no?
Yes.
It is. So what does that teach us? Maybe we ought to find it out. It'd be cool if we knew. If I knew what your position was, the same position I have. If I know who the Lord Jesus Christ is and what his position is before the Father, guess what? I'm from him. It's also true of me. See, that's position, and that's why it's so important. Let's close. Father, how we thank you. We do thank you that you have put into play the principle of position. And it gives us rest in our hearts to realize that you have taken care of everything and planted us in Christ before you, and we are totally accepted in the Beloved Father. And we thank you. We pray in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen.